Before I preach to you tonight, I got a little bit about the plant that we're going to, the Smyrna plant, the Nissan plant in Smyrna, Tennessee. And it's on Thursday, and we still need 10 more people. But I got some kind of hard, bad words right now for it, because guess what? This plant has rules. Suck in the air. They got standards. You're not going to go up there to their plant and do things your way. You're going to do it their way. Isn't that an amazing thing? I got this for all the ones that are going. We'll put it in the back there. I just want to read it off to you. First of all, we're leaving at 9 o'clock in the morning, not 8 o'clock. We don't have to be there that early. The tour is at 1 o'clock. You'll enjoy it if you'd like to come. Number one, no weapons of any kind. So, ladies, leave your guns at home. No cell phones. Cameras and all other recording devices are strictly prohibited on the plant tour. Do not even bring these items in the plant. Store all such items in your vehicle out of sight. That's the easy one. For safety reasons, children under 10 are not permitted. I think we're good there. But love to have some of you come. You kind of find out that seniors still have fun. You must wear shirts with at least a 4-inch sleeve and closed-toed shoes. No flip-flops or sandals are permitted on the tour. A bunch of sorry legalists. Isn't that the truth? Isn't it amazing how people think about things? You got to have rules, don't you? You just got to have them to make things work. Well, turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 12. Jeremiah, chapter number 12. We're going to read the first 5 verses of this chapter of Jeremiah, chapter number 12. And I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. If the footman tire you, what will a horseman do? If the footman tire you, what will a horseman do? Jeremiah, interesting prophet, isn't he? 40 years he prophesied in Israel. 40 years it looked like he got nothing done. 40 years he was treated wrong by his own people. 40 years he proclaimed things, nobody listened. But he never quit. He never slowed down. He never turned back on God. And when you start reading this 12th chapter, you think, well, maybe Jeremiah has finally worn out. And he's got a lot more chapters left, doesn't he? But you look at chapter 12, and he begins to talk to God, and it's one of the interesting things I like to look at here. When he begins to talk to God, he doesn't talk to him as a far-off, unloving, unbenevolent person, but he talks to him as his friend, talks to him as his father. And when he starts off, he says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee." He's coming to God. He needs some things from God, but he knows how to talk to God. "Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." And he asks a question. And all of us are asking this question right now. Every single one of us are asking this question right now. "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" Kind of seems that way, doesn't it? The way of the wicked always been that way, hasn't it? The way of the wicked. "Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root." He says, this is just the way it is. "I've been preaching here. Nobody listens. Nobody likes me. Everything seems to be going wrong. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reign." But then he says this, "But thou, O Lord, knowest me." Now remember Jeremiah chapter 1? God told Jeremiah, "I've known you from your mother's womb. You've always been mine." Jeremiah has not forgotten this, has he? He says, "But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee." Then he kind of gets a little tough here. He says, "Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither, and the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. Now, just as a friend and as a fellow Christian with all of you and a fellow member of this wonderful church, isn't that the way we feel about the world right now? We just kind of wonder what's going on and what's going to happen. And sometimes we let it get us down and let us forget who we really are and who God really is. And then God talks to Jeremiah. And in verse number 5, he says this, If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I want to ask this question to Madison Baptist Church tonight. How will thou run with the footman if you can't even contend? How will thou run with the horseman, if you can't even contend with the footman? Let's pray together just for a moment. Father, Lord, tonight as we look at this passage of your word and see this blessed prophet that only loved his people, wept over them with tears over and over again, was imprisoned by them and beaten by them and just not loved by them at all. And yet he knew you. And he understood that he could talk to you. And he understood that you understand. And he was willing to listen to what you had to say to him. Lord, let us listen tonight as we think on a few things about the life we're living now and how we ought to live it. Bless the words, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I really feel great about preaching starting tonight because the way Brother Jeff did with words to us this morning, no matter how much I mess up, I'm in good shape and in good hands. We were in Scotland the last three weeks, and we ate, when you're over in another country, you eat some really neat things. And we went out on a Sunday morning. It was my 75th birthday. And we went out and we went up to this restaurant and they had Cullen Sink. Now, Cullen Sink is a broth, kind of a fish stew. It's really, really, really good. Well, I got up to preach the next Sunday. And I got up and said, man, I just enjoyed that meal so much last Sunday. That killing skunk was great. I said that in that little Scottish church, and they all looked at me. And I thought, what did I say? And I realized I said killing skunk instead of culling sink. So, you know, we're all good at that stuff, aren't we? It's just part of our lives, and it just goes on. But tonight, you know, we live in a period of time, and I believe God has set his people to show him greatly in this world. I believe he's given us a period of grace that if we'll stand the way God wants us to stand, God will do some great and mighty things in our land. And I believe as Jeremiah was talking here, when he was talking to the people, Jeremiah was a prophet that poured out his heart. When the people heard him, they knew he was right. They understood who he loved. And he was praying, and his whole thing was that the people would understand. I've been preaching for 49 years now. And sometimes I get up and preach things, and I think I say it very clear, and the people don't understand me at all. And I understand how that exactly is and how easy people can take things the wrong way and hear something and never follow through on it and never really see what the person said. Husbands and wives especially, you know we all live in different worlds. And when I say something and she says something, we all say the same thing, but it doesn't come out the same way ever. Ever, ever. That's what marriage is all about. You got to be a linguist and a translator. You've got to take that what they said and realize they said exactly the same thing you said, only you said it better. Amen. Thanks for that amen, brother. We need it. But he was praying for the people and their understanding. And he speaks to God with a holy familiarity. He understands God and not with a heart of complaint. This is not a complaint coming from Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah seeking for what God wants him to know. You know, when we come to God, if we'd quit complaining so much and just ask God to show us what we ought to be doing, we'd be a whole lot better off. But we like to complain to God. Here he sees the prosperity of the wicked. And it seems that that's all that's going on. But he sees, does something the right way. And this is what I want to get at tonight. He faces it the right way. He doesn't cry about it. He faces it. He does not charge God foolishly. Why are you doing me to this, Lord? There we go. I said it backwards there. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? I remember when I was a very, very young boy, I think probably 9 or 10 years of age, I'd had polio and had very, very weak legs, and my toes turned in, and I think I've told this story before, but I walked exactly like this when I was a young boy. And it still, by the way, still feels good to walk that way. That's the way my legs want to walk. So I took and put some boards on my legs, put straps across, and walked out in the dark when my parents had, my father was a drunk and was gone and my mom was working, and I'd walk around so that I could get my feet going the right way. Well, I got my feet going the right way, but I walked really funny. But anyway, I can remember going out there at nights as a boy without any understanding, and crying, God, why are you doing this to me? And crying as a young boy, why is things this way? Jeremiah didn't do that. Jeremiah talked to God as one who understanding that God was doing the right things and God would give him the right answers. He understood that life is difficult at its best when you're a stranger and a pilgrim in a foreign land. Have you forgotten? Have we forgotten? This is not our home. We are here just for a while. We are just occupants of a foreign land. We're going to get out of this place, folks. One or two ways, we're getting out. And we need to understand that. But here's what I want you to get. If you're going to live for God now, you've got to learn to contend with the small things first. We get all caught up with such silly little things. Somebody says something, and you don't understand it, and you immediately don't like them anymore. Preacher says something that really is something that you really don't like, and you decide to stop listening to him. People do things out at work or at different places, and you decide, I'm better than they are, and I'm just going to stay mad at them, and we don't contend with the small things. Jeff preached it so perfectly this morning. I was thinking, I'm preaching this tonight, and I'm so glad what you said. It took me a while to understand this, but I finally got a hold of it. I don't have to have somebody to ask me to forgive me to forgive them. I got to have a forgiving spirit. I've got to be willing when that person comes to just say, you're forgiven. I've already got to have that hard attitude. Now, they're going to stay miserable, and they're going to stay wrong, and they're going to answer if they don't get their forgiveness, but I'm not going to answer for the fact that I didn't forgive them. And I'm going to contend with the small things just the way they ought to be contended with. They're not worth worrying about. They're not. When somebody says something a little bit wrong, when somebody does something a little bit wrong, when it doesn't happen to be done your way, when you look at somebody and they seem to have more than you, or you seem, boy, I think this in churches is the worst thing. You don't need a pat on the back when you do something for God. But we think we do. And if somebody doesn't come up with, I like to tell people when they do good things, and I tell people when they do good things. And I did one time tonight, I did that to a person that did something really nice, and I liked it. I'll do that. But you don't have to make it a thing. Well, how come you didn't say that for me? I did something once as a pastor. I thought I'll do this. I thought this would be just a wonderful, great thing. So I looked through the records of Fairview Baptist Church, and I found all the people that had taught Sunday school 25 years or more. I went out and I got a plaque made for it. Put all those names, and one day we just put it up in the church, said we want to honor these people that have taught for over 25 years. That's the dumb. Why I ever did that, I'll never know. I had these people come, well, I taught once. I taught this. How come my name's not on there? And I said, well, it was for 25 years. Well, I taught for 3 years. Shouldn't that count for something? My good, you know, and I thought, here I am doing a good thing. And it backfired. It just literally backfired. Because it's amazing what we think we ought to get for ourselves. And it's amazing how we think other people ought to pat us on the back because we are such a fine person. Come on, let the little things be little things, because guess what? When you do those little things is when you're walking with the footman. You're just taking a walk out there with the footman. But over there, the Calvary's sitting. Over there, the big problems are getting ready to come. You're sitting here worried about the fact that somebody didn't say, shake your hand this morning, or somebody didn't walk by, or you were, this is the one that really kills me. Somebody goes to the hospital, and they don't tell anybody, and when they come back, they cry, how come somebody never went to see me? Have you ever had that happen in your life? I have. Why didn't you stop by to see me? I didn't even know. We're not mind readers. Let's get along with one another. Let's look at the good things about people. Let's listen and enjoy the things that God puts before us. We sat here tonight and had one of the best song services the church would probably ever have. Did you enjoy it? Was it a blessing to your heart? Or you were sitting there thinking about, well, you know, Martin missed a note over there. I wouldn't know that, but some of you would know that. Or why did they sing so loud? I liked it. I wish I could get 40 men up here singing like that. Amen? Hey, and I like the songs we sang tonight, too. They were kind of the close to foot stomper ones, some of them. I like that. And I enjoyed the song service, and it got me ready to preach. We ought to enjoy the little things. No, but we don't enjoy the little things. We walk along with other things, and we look at the bad side of everything. Whatever happened to a positive attitude? Whatever happened to looking at things like, this is pretty good? Now, I'm not perfect on this, but I'm working on it. And I've got to a point in my life when somebody says something that's just a little bit wrong, well, okay, they'll get over it. I'm not going to worry about it. Let's just walk along with them. Because if we can't contend with the footman, what are we going to do when the horsemen come? What are we going to do when the horsemen come? Greater trouble should not be an alarming fact. Being unprepared should be. Don't you understand why God lets these little things come into your life? Because if you remember how your Christian life is, how do you start out? I think Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And you start off as a babe. So God puts these little things out there for you, the things that you can contend with, the things that you can do. And if you learn to get over them, you can take the next step. You can come when the next problems, and there are, by the way, there are going to be some real big problems come. I said, I think maybe I shouldn't use this. But I think of the Ashleys. Any of you sitting here wondering what's going to happen to your house? Or to your town, or your people. That's a horseman. That's not a footman. That's a horseman. And you're not going to contend with them if you couldn't contend with the footman. If you couldn't get the first things first and get your feet on the ground in the realization that I am just a servant of Jesus Christ, He has saved me by grace divine. He wants to use me for a purpose. And the little teeny things that are going on here, he's using them to make me grow up. Because when I get over to 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, as obedient children, we do grow up, you know. But you're never, ever going to grow up. Can I say something really harsh? If every time somebody says something to you, and every time something just doesn't fit you right, you get all upset and worried about it, you're a babe. Just simply put it down. Get your diaper on and go on. You know, maybe that's your problem. Maybe something's wet down there. But just get on your way and quit worrying about all the little things. If the footman tire you, what will the horseman do? You know, do you ever notice what little strength you have? We fall before the slightest thing. But what about the horseman? What about the horseman? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. You know, 2 Timothy is a book that every Christian ought to read to learn how to walk as a Christian. I think it's the best book to show. You know, Paul talks about so many, many things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at what he starts off in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is Jesus Christ, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit these to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I got to thinking about that. And back in the times of the Greeks and the Romans and their battles and stuff, they would have the footmen, wouldn't they? They would have, most of the army would be footmen. But you would have a cavalry. Well, how did the footmen contend with the cavalry? Well, the Greeks had a great thing. It was called a phalanx. And what it was, they had long spears that went way out there, and they would get in a group in such a way there'd be one after another. And if the horseman came, they literally got impaled upon this. The footman could stand against the horseman as long as they stood together. And they could fight the battle, and they could stand against the horseman. If they spread apart, the horseman would eat them alive and destroy them. But together, they could. If they'd learned how to march as footmen, if they'd learned to endure the little things, if they'd learned to not turn their back when anything just quickly went bad. Hey, by the way, have you ever worked with somebody like you're putting something together and you start to screw it and you say, turn that screw over there, and they go, oh, it won't work. They don't even try. You know, just, you want to go over there and get them to just turn that thing, work on it a little bit. Maybe it'll get done. But we want to try things this way. Oh, the first time, oh, that's too hard for me. No, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because guess what, folks? If you can't contend with the footmen, you're in trouble when the horsemen come. And by the way, the horsemen are always around and will be on their way. And I want to put this on a spiritual plane, not a physical plane. We can talk about different things, about maybe you have a problem with a child or different things. I'm not talking about getting through these problems where maybe your child does something wrong, or maybe somebody had an accident and they're hurt. What I'm talking about, how are you spiritually going to get through these things? Physically, we'll endure them, and after a while we'll understand. If you lay in a hospital and you're in pain, you'll understand it after a while. It'll quit, and you'll get used to it, and that might happen. I've got used to the pain in my legs because it's been there for so many years. You get used to those things, that's fine. But what are you going to do spiritually when real trouble comes, when the horseman comes, when some real spiritual battle comes in your life, where it's time that God puts you out with something that really looks scary, something that you look at it and it looks impossible, but you know that God is talking to you about it. You know that's what God wants you to do. You know that's where God wants you to be. You know it's there. But what are you going to do when this horseman comes and gives you every excuse why you can't do it, every reason why you shouldn't do it? What are you going to do when the horsemen come? Let's go on. No man that warreth, verse 4, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. See what he's saying? You got to get over the affairs of this life. If you let all the little piddling things bother you all the time, how in the world are you ever going to get along in the warfare? That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. God is talking to us simply this. When the horsemen come, you've got to turn to God. When the horsemen come, you've got to seek the face of God. When the horsemen come, you've got to be like Jeremiah was here, right here. Jeremiah's got a whole lot yet coming. This is in the early part of his ministry. Nothing's worked yet, but he's still got 30 years ahead of him probably, and still not get any results seemingly. How's he going to battle with those things? He's got to understand some things. I will never leave you or forsake you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We've got to get a hold of the things of the Word of God and realize if we're going to stand against the horsemen, it's got to be in the hands of the Lord. If we're going to stand against these big battles that come against us, and they're coming, and they're coming soon, I think. Success running with the footmen will prepare you for the Calvary. And when they come, endurance is needed for the battle. Look at the last part of chapter 4. What does Paul say? I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. What is it all about? It's about endurance. It's about training with God. It's about living for the Lord day by day, accepting the things that happen in your life and trusting God every morning. It's about getting up every morning and giving yourself. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's a matter of fact that if you can walk with the footmen, when the horsemen come, you're ready to call upon the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this unequivocally. God will take care of you. God will show you a way. God will give you what you need. Our problem is we've been such ninny baby crying over here over the little things. We don't have time enough to listen to God when he wants to show us the way we ought to go and show us what may happen and let us understand it's not going to be an easy battle. You're going against horsemen. And there's going to be some bumps. And there's going to be some knockdowns. And there's going to be some losses. But those losses strengthen you. And you stand up and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Because guess what? The verse in Jeremiah says, what are you going to do with the swelling of Jordan? What are you going to do with the swelling of Jordan? Jordan always speaks of trouble. You know, 40 years in the wilderness and they get to Jordan, what's on the other side? Peace and happiness, joy and easiness, no more problems. Well, if you could get rid of those people at Jericho, maybe it would be a little bit better. And it just keeps going on, does it not? When you get to the swelling of Jordan, how are you going to cope with the great problems of life? And I want to back up a little bit and step on the first great problem of life. If you're on your way to hell here tonight, you better deal with that problem now. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you better get that settled now. If you're thinking that you've got little problems And if you think that even great problems are coming, listen, let me tell you what. The greatest problem in everybody's life that can be settled instantly is where you spend eternity. God, in his wonderful, infinite mercy, has provided a completely free salvation for any and all who will just admit that they are a sinner, admit that Jesus was a Savior, admit that the work on the cross of Calvary was complete and done, and in simple childlike faith, admit what you are and turn by faith and ask him to save you, and you'll settle that first great problem. Get that out of the way. Jesus is the only answer. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set at the right hand of the majesty on high. The answer is simply this. We must completely trust him. You know, Jude, in the little last part of his little book, says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior be majesty, glory and majesty forever." The answer is simply, we need to quit worrying about self and just embrace Jesus. I don't know when it was when Pastor was preaching. I don't remember even what message it was, but you know, you remember different things out of different messages. But I remember this that Pastor Allison said one time, and it's just been a joy to me for the last year, year and a half, ever since I heard him say it. He said he walks in this church in the mornings when it's totally empty, and he walks around and he prays for you people. And you're creatures of habit, so we can, and I used to do this in my church all the time too. And every once in a while somebody would move, just like Brother Ross has moved over here when he's supposed to be right over here. You know, we do stuff like that every once in a while. But usually you can pray just about for everybody, just for doing that. And I think that's a great and wonderful thing. And we can all do that by visualizing the church and praying for the people anyway. But he said this then. He said a lot of times he comes right in and he sits right down at that chair right there, right where you're sitting, Brother Sizemore. And he just said this. "I just asked Jesus to put his arms around me. I just asked Jesus to put his arms around me and love me and help me go on." You know what? You do that and you get right through the swelling of Jordan. You let Jesus just wrap his arms around you. Just let him comfort you with the love that he could give you. And just pour out your heart to him. And just let him lead your life. Just let him grow you as only he can grow you. And how can he grow you? Two ways. He grows you by you just reading your Bible by yourself, but he also grows you by listening to people like me. And listen to the things that God has given to us. You know, God gives them to us because we want you to have them. We want to see you have the joy in your life. You know, I don't know a pastor or an assistant pastor, anybody that's called to God that doesn't love what John said in 1 John when he says, "It's just a joy for me to see my brethren dwelling together in love and unity." It's a joy. Are the footmen tiring you tonight? Can't even keep up with the footman right now. Get in the Word and trust the Lord. Put that stuff aside. If somebody said something against you, if somebody's done some little thing to you, if somebody's forgotten to do something for you, just drop it. Don't even worry about it. In fact, go the other way and go to that person and do something nice for them. My Bible says you pour a little coal on their heads and it'll burn them just a little bit too. Just be kind to them. And don't say, "I'm doing this because you did that to me." That's how people are. No, just do it because you ought to do it. And all of a sudden, there'll be a day when you're ready for the Calvary. And when the big problem does come, you'll get through it. I'm not saying it'll be easy, but you will get through it. And when the swelling of Jordan comes, you'll be ready. I believe that the swelling of Jordan is coming. I believe there's a time coming in this country where we're going to have to make a stand for who we are and what we believe, not just in this building, but out there. And if you haven't contended with the footman, and if you can't take care of the horseman, you're done for in the swelling of Jordan. But we can stand, and we can conquer, and we can see great things happen. But I want to ask you tonight, how are you doing with the footman? Have you got that taken care of? How are you doing with the horseman? Get ready for the swelling of Jordan, because guess what? He'll be there. He will never fail you. He cannot fail. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has paid the price. He has done it all. He is coming again. He is going to step. He's going to call us out. It could be tonight. That blessed trumpet may go off, and we'll rise. We'll be changed. If that doesn't happen, if he takes us out another way, I'm going to heaven. How about you? I'll tell you what. When you get our age, us old people, we kind of like heaven. We look around and we see things go on in our lives. We think, yeah, but I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to get to fall at my face before him and thank him for everything that he did for me. It's going to happen, folks. But we still got to contend with the footman now. We got to take care of the horseman. And when the swelling of Jordan comes, he's still there. Let's pray together.